Good morning, Grace Community Church. It's Saturday, the day between Good Friday and Easter Sunday. The Lord is with us. I've always wondered what that first Saturday, which is the Sabbath day, between the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus was like for the followers of Jesus and for his family. Here is how the Gospel of Luke describes it. Luke chapter 24. Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, who had not consented to their decision and action. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid it in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointment. On the Sabbath day they rested, according to the commandment. That final line is really all we know about what the disciples and the followers of Jesus were doing on that day between the crucifixion and the resurrection. It was the Sabbath day, and they rested according to the commandment. It's interesting when we ask, what did these followers of Jesus have on that day? They had two things. They had a command. So it's their Sabbath, and they knew that the command from the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, called them to rest. So they kept it. They had a commandment, and they kept it. But they also had a promise. Do you remember earlier this week when we read from Luke chapter 9, where Jesus said that the Son of Man must be killed and must be raised? So Jesus told them that he was going to rise. He had promised them that this would happen. And the question is, on this day, did they remember it? So what was the day like? Well, no doubt for them was simply a day of waiting. They were a people in waiting. Now, we've already seen that they were waiting obediently. So they're waiting on something. They don't know what. Jesus has died. They are not sure what's next, but they had a commandment to rest on the Sabbath, so they're waiting in obedience. But the question is, are they waiting in expectation? Did they remember that Christ promised he would rise? Well, we find ourselves in a very similar place, don't we? We're in a place of waiting. We too, as Christians, are a people in waiting. Now, it's different because today it's post-resurrection. So we're not waiting on the resurrection of Jesus. That's happened. But it's pre-return. Jesus, who promised to rise and did on Resurrection Sunday, also promised a second coming. He promised a return, and he promised to make all things new, and he promised to gather his new people together. His people of the cross and the empty tomb by faith are going to be together. But we're waiting for that return. And while we wait, we have the same things that the earlier followers of Jesus had before the resurrection. We have a command, commands really, and we have a promise. Here we are after the resurrection, but before the return with the Holy Spirit. And we have the commands to take up our cross and to follow Christ, to die to self and to live with Jesus as Lord. We have the command to abide in Christ and to bear fruit, the command to seek his face and to grow in faith. We have the command to live with the church, Christ's people, and to love them. We have the command to collectively, as the church and as congregations, carry out the Great Commission and preach the gospel and make disciples. We have the commands to live holy lives and to do our work in the world unto God's glory. So we're called to an active waiting just as those early disciples were. We also have the promise. They were promised that Christ would rise again, and he did. The promise for us today is that he will come again, and he will. So with that promise comes the encouragement. Let not your heart be troubled. Fear not. We have not been left as orphans. We have a Father. We have the Spirit. And the firstborn among many brethren, whose name is Jesus, will return. So we're called to hopefully wait. We're called to actively wait in obedience and hopefully wait for his return. The people of the cross and the empty tomb today are still a people in waiting, waiting for the return of Christ. And we say, as the Apostle John said in the last lines of the New Testament, "Come, Lord Jesus." Today, I want you to think about this. Are you waiting actively? Are there commands right here in front of you? Commands you can read in a Bible, commands that are ringing in your ears because Jesus has spoke them, that you know you're called to obey. Do so. Let your faith work through love and be active. And today, are you hopefully waiting? Are you waiting hopefully for the return of Christ? Are you trusting in this promise? I know we've got many things of life that we are concerned with, and we have to get on with life. We have to live life fully engaged. But the return of Christ calls us to lift our eyes and to look ahead so that we don't get overly discouraged at the setbacks of life or overly elated at the blessings of life. We stay grounded in the truth that this is the place where God is active, Christ is working, the kingdom is here, and people are being brought into the kingdom, but its fullness, the fullness of the kingdom, awaits. And so we lift our eyes to that day and live faithfully today in light of that. We are a people in waiting. Father, awaken us to the goodness of the commands that you've given us in these days while we wait, that we may obey them without burden, that they would be our joy. Awaken us, Father, to the assurance of the return of your Son, Jesus, that we might be the people of hope. Father, this year, when we see and celebrate the empty tomb tomorrow on Easter Sunday, may it give us the confidence that newness is to come. And Father, this year on Easter Sunday, tomorrow, as your church gathers, draw someone to yourself. Awaken a dead heart. Open the eyes of a sinner to see the Christ of the cross in the empty tomb and to repent and believe. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.